Four inert bodies sank through spinning blackness. Consciousness had died. Cold oblivion pulled the bodies down and down into the pit of unbeing. The roar of silence echoed dismally around them, and they sank at last into a dark and bitter sea of heaving red that slowly engulfed them, seemingly forever. After what seemed an eternity, the seas receded and left them lying on a cold, hard shore, the flotsam and jetsam of the stream of life, the universe, and everything. Cold spasms shook them. Lights danced sickeningly around them. The cold, hard shore tipped and span and then stood still. It shone darkly. It was a very highly polished cold, hard shore. A green blur watched them disapprovingly. It coughed.
"Good evening, madam, gentlemen," it said. "Do you have a reservation?"
Ford Prefect's consciousness snapped back like elastic, making his brain smart. He looked up woozily at the green blur.
"Reservation?" he said weakly.
"Yes, sir," said the green blur.
"Do you need a reservation for the afterlife?"
In so far as it is possible for a green blur to arch its eyebrows disdainfully, this is what the green blur now did.
"Afterlife, sir," it said.
Arthur Dent was grappling with his consciousness the way one grapples with a lost bar of soap in the bath.
Is this the afterlife?" he stammered.
"Well, I assume so," said Ford Prefect, trying to work out which way was up. He tested the theory that it must lie in the opposite direction from the cold, hard shore on which he was lying, and staggered to what he hoped were his feet. "I mean," he said, swaying gently, "there's no way we could have survived that blast, is there?"
"No," muttered Arthur. He had raised himself onto his elbows, but it didn't seem to improve things. He slumped down again.
"No," said Trillian, standing up. "No way at all."
A dull, hoarse, gurgling sound came from the floor. It was Zaphod Beeblebrox attempting to speak.
"I certainly didn't survive," he gurgled. "I was a total goner. Wham, bang, and that was it."
"Yeah, thanks to you," said Ford. "We didn't stand a chance. We must have been blown to bits, arms, legs, everywhere."
"Yeah,"
said Zaphod, struggling noisily to his feet.
"If the lady and gentleman would care to order drinks,"
said the green blur, hovering impatiently beside them.
"Kapow! Splat!" continued Zaphod. "Instantaneously zonked into our component molecules. Hey, Ford,"
he said, identifying one of the slowly solidifying blurs around him.
"Did you get that thing of your whole life flashing before you?"
"You got that too," said Ford. "Your whole life?"
"Yeah," said Zaphod. "At least I assume it was mine. I spent a lot of time out on my skulls, you know."
He looked around him at the various shapes that were at last becoming proper shapes, instead of vague and wobbling, shapeless shapes.
"So?"
he said. "So what?" said Ford.
"So here we are," said Zaphod hesitantly. "Lying dead."
"Standing,"
Trillian corrected him.
"Ah, standing dead," continued Zaphod. "In this desolate
restaurant," said Arthur Dent, who had got to his feet and could now, much to his surprise, see clearly. That is to say, the thing that surprised him was not that he could see, but what he could see.
"Here we are," continued Zaphod doggedly, "standing dead in this desolate..."
"Five-star," said Trillian.
"Restaurant," concluded Zaphod.
"Odd, isn't it?" said Ford.
Yeah.
"Nice chandeliers, though," said Trillian.
They looked about themselves in bemusement.
"It's not so much an afterlife," said Arthur, "more a sort of après-vie."
Behind Arthur was a large curtained bay window. He pulled aside the corner of the curtain and looked out at a bleak and drear landscape, grey, pockmarked and dismal, a landscape which, under normal circumstances, would have given Arthur the creeping horrors. These were not, however, normal circumstances, for the thing that froze his blood and made his skin try to crawl up his back and off the top of his head was the sky. The sky was... An attendant flunky politely drew the curtain back into place.
"All in good time, sir,"
he said. Zaphod's eyes flashed.
"Hey, hang about, you dead guys," he said. "I think we're missing some ultra-important thing here, you know. Something somebody said, and we missed it."
Arthur was profoundly relieved to turn his attention from what he had just seen.
he said.
I said it was a sort of apparate...
Yeah, and don't you wish you hadn't, said Zaphod.
Ford? I said it was odd.
Yeah, shrewd but dull, perhaps it was.
Perhaps, interrupted the green blur, who had by this time resolved into the shape of a small, wizened, dark-suited green waiter, perhaps you would care to discuss the matter over drinks.
Drinks? Cried Zaphod. That was it! See what you miss if you don't stay alert.
Indeed, sir, said the waiter patiently, if the lady and gentleman would care to take drinks before dinner.
Dinner!
Zaphod exclaimed with passion.
Listen, little green person, my stomach could take you home and cuddle you all night for the mere idea.
And the universe, continued the waiter, determined not to be deflected on his home stretch, will explode later for your pleasure. Ford's head swiveled slowly towards him. He spoke with feeling.
Wow, he said. What sort of drinks do you serve in this place?
The waiter laughed a polite little waiter's laugh.
Ha ha,
he said. I think sir has perhaps misunderstood me.
Oh, I hope not, breathed Ford.
The waiter coughed a polite little waiter's cough.
It is not unusual for our customers to be a little disorientated by the time journey, he said, so if I might suggest...
Time journey? Said Zaphod.
Time journey? Said Ford.
Time journey? Said Trillian.
You mean this isn't the afterlife? Said Arthur. The waiter smiled a polite little waiter's smile. He had almost exhausted his polite little waiter repertoire and would soon be slipping into his role of a rather tight-lipped and sarcastic little waiter.
Afterlife, sir, he said. No, sir.
And we're not dead, said Arthur. The waiter tightened his lips.
Aha, ha, he said. Sir is most evidently alive, otherwise I would not attempt to serve, sir.
In an extraordinary gesture, which it is pointless attempting to describe, Zaphod Beeblebrox slapped both his foreheads with two of his arms and one of his thighs with the other.
Hey, guys, he said. This is crazy. We did it. We finally got to where we were going. This is Milliways.
Milliways? Said Ford.
Yes, sir, said the waiter, laying on the patience with a trowel. This is Milliways, the restaurant at the end of the universe.
End of what? Said Arthur.
The universe, repeated the waiter, very clearly and unnecessarily distinctly.
When did that end? Said Arthur.
In just a few minutes, sir, said the waiter.
He took a deep breath.
He didn't need to do this, since his body was supplied with the peculiar assortment of gases it required for survival from a small intravenous device strapped to his leg. There are times, however, when, whatever your metabolism, you have to take a deep breath.
Now, if you would care to order your drinks at last, he said, I will then show you to your table.
Zaphod grinned two manic grins, sauntered over to the bar, and bought most of it.